Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. God seems to say that a lot in our Bibles, does he not? God seems to say that whether it's an angel appearing, God seems to say that whether we're worried about an atmosphere, God seems to say that if something is coming up that we're just so scared about, especially if Jesus is walking in on the water towards us, he still says, do not fear. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we're in our last in our series of Do Not Fear. In the first week, we talked about how Jesus was walking on the water towards the disciples as they were on the boat, and how it looked like a ghost, a phantasm. And they were in so much fear, and Jesus said, do not fear. Yeah, yeah, you guys are awake. You're more awake than the other service. You guys are going to be like super awake. So, and then Jesus, after he'd been on the water, then he also said to Zechariah when he met him at the altar as an angel. And when the angel appeared to Zechariah and Zechariah was scared, the angel said to Zechariah, all right, you're getting it. And then, last week, we talked about the angel, but the week before, we talked about Martha. We talked about Martha and how she was just scared of the atmosphere, scared about what people were going to say, scared about whether when her brother was going to come out of the tomb. What were people going to say about this terrible funeral event? And Jesus said to her, today, we are talking about visions. And nobody ever said, do not fear visions, right? In fact, we like being around people with visions. What is a vision? It's thinking creatively about the future. It's what we have that you're looking at me with me now. Vision is what's in your eyes. Biblically, it's about thinking about what God can do later on in our lives. It's thinking and envisioning and being aware of the presence of God in our lives years down the line. We like being around people who are visionaries. If somebody new comes into your company that you've been working at a long time, things aren't going too well, you say, well, I've got a new vision. We like that person, right? And then maybe for your family, like, we're not going to live like this anymore. I envision us living a better life. We like being around people who are visionaries, who have a better outlook for the future. But biblical visions are visions that pay attention to what God is saying about you, paying attention about what God is saying about your church, paying attention to what God is saying about the community. I had a vision once. I was young and new in the faith, and every Sunday night, we would go to Janet and Malcolm McCall's house. We'd go there for a prayer meeting, and these people were so loving and so beautiful. I love being around these people. In fact, everybody knew Malcolm was so anointed and so full of the Holy Spirit that often when you were around him, it would just like splash out on everybody else. You ever been around those people? And he was a joy to be around. He was a joy to be around. And you felt like you'd been in the presence of the Lord just being in this guy's presence. So we go around to his house on a Sunday night, my wife and I. And after the prayer meeting was over one Sunday, he was passionate, by the way. He was passionate about the next generation. He was excited he had a 21-year-old in his home praying with him and for him. And this one night, after the prayer was over, I had a vision. For some reason, the night before, I've been watching about how falcons are trained, how birds of prey are trained. You know, they have a special tether on their left claw, just above their left claw, and then they have a leash that goes on them, and they perch one end, and then the trainer goes to the end of the other perch and cajoles them over, and they stay attached to them so they don't fly off. And it keeps doing this. It goes back and forward. And for some reason, I was watching this the night before. I don't know why. But Sunday night, I had a vision. I had a vision. I was the eagle. I was the falcon. I was the bird of prey. I was flying along, but I was flying in circles. As I'm flying in circles, I look down at my claw, my left claw, and there's a tether on it, and then there's a leash going, and I'm going around in circles. What the heck's going on? I look down, and I look in the middle of this circle I'm going, and there's a guy there holding the tether, holding the leash, and the person is a personification of God. And I'm like, what gives it? You're going to let go or whatever? And God says to me, don't worry, Keith. I got you now. Do not fear. And later I let go of the leash and off I fly. And I fly up to the heavens and I see the land. It's sparse. It's cracked. There's no harvest. There's no fruit coming from the land. There's nothing growing there. And I fly further over that land, and I get to the corner, and in the corner is a great throng of worshipers surrounding the throne of God, and they're worshiping and singing, and it's bright. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then I just get out of the vision, just like that. What was that? That was weird. I go in the kitchen for a cup of tea, go to make a cup of tea in the kitchen, and Janet's there, Janet McCall, Malcolm's wife. She says, you know, how are you, kind of thing, what's going on? I said, I think I just had a vision. She says, well, tell me about the vision. So I told her what I just told you. And she says, well, Keith, I think you know what the first part's about. She said, but the second part, God wants you not to look at other people and what they're doing. God wants you to follow him and be a mighty, mighty vessel for him. God does not want you to look at everybody else. Whoa. And Janet prayed for me, and it was always a mighty prayer. It was always anointed. She was always, you know, pouring into me. And then I asked her what she wanted in her tea. Do you want milk and sugar? And life went on. But I've never forgotten that vision of how God continues to guide my life. And I've never thought to myself, I wish I'd never been tethered to God. I wish I'd had a better life than being. I've never looked back and thought to myself, oh, I wish I'd have been set free from that. I am blessed because my life has been tethered to God. Amen? What about you? What vision have you had? Is it a vision that you've had for yourself? Is it a vision that you've had for your family? Is it a vision that you've had for your children's children? Is it a vision that you have for your church and for the worshiping communities here, for your community in Palm Harbor alone? Is there a vision that you have for this state? Ezekiel had a vision. In fact, he had a whole bunch of them in the book. Ezekiel, that's where we are today in Ezekiel. It's in the Old Testament. If you don't know where it is, look at the front or just type it into your phone, Ezekiel. And we're in chapter 37. If you're online, just open another tab or go to another website and type in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel has many visions in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a prophet. A prophet is somebody who gives the word of God as it is. A word of encouragement, a word of direction. This is what God is saying, essentially, is what a prophet is. The prophet Ezekiel was sent to Israel. Israel was in absolute despair. They were in despair because the nation had gone to bits. They'd been disproportionately treated. They were in absolute despair. But worst of all, they were discouraged. They were discouraged that it seemed like God had left them. They were discouraged and they looked like a load of dry bones sitting in the middle of a valley. And this is when Ezekiel speaks to the nation of Israel. We're in Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 1 says this, read along with me. You might see something different you've never seen before if you know this passage. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor, and they were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." So Ezekiel, this is him having a vision, because it says the Spirit of the Lord took him to a location. That word there is the Hebrew ruach. Ruach means the Spirit of God, God alone himself, the breath of God. The breath of God took him in his vision to a valley. This valley was known for being a battleground, a place where people die from being fighting each other. Ezekiel was taken to this area, and what did he see? He's seen dry bones. Now, I don't know how many bones were there, but I know that we have 213 bones in our body when we are first made, when we come out of the womb. And then later on, it goes down to about 209. So imagine 213 bones for each person, times 1,000, all assembled in this valley. And that's what Ezekiel sees. He sees them dry and parched and in need of some sustenance. The bones, as a metaphor, are exposed to culture. They're exposed to what other people are thinking about. They are exposed to what everybody else expects of them. And these bones are dry. And the big question that we're going to answer today is, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel says to God, "Well, honey, you know that. You know that. I don't know that." And in verse 4, it says, "Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to those bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message just as he told me to. And suddenly as I spoke, there were rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them." So God says to Ezekiel, "I'm going to put breath in them. I'm going to speak ruach into them. I'm going to arrange them so that they can live again. And you're going to prophesy to them. You are going to give them the words so that they reassemble." So in the vision, in front of his eyes, the bones start to reassemble. Presumably, all the bones assemble in the way we think that is normal. The legs are in the correct way, the arms in the right places, the pelvis, and even all the bones in our little fingers and toes, all arranged. They're so complex, even all them are all arranged in a certain way. And then, as these bones started to form, he starts to hear a rattle. I wonder what that was like, as this valley, normally known for death, starts to turn to life, and the bones start rattling. There's a deafening sound as the bones all come together. And not only bones are formed together, but sinews tie the correct bones together in our arms and in our legs to make them work properly. And then muscles are in place so that they extend at the right times in the right places. And then they are covered with skin. And then they're covered with skin and they have perfect bodies like they were first born, just looking just like all of you people here today. But the bodies were just laying there. The bodies were just laying there. They weren't doing anything. They've still got no breath in them, he says. There's still no ruach in them. The Hebrew is ruach. The Greek is pneuma, where we get the word pneumatology or pneumatic. He says they've got no life in them. They've got no breath in them. You can have a perfectly formed body. You can have your bones in the right place. You can have your sinews in the right place. You can have your muscles working perfectly. You can have nice, tight skin. Your body look beautiful. But if you've got no breath in you, you ain't got nothing, amen? You got no breath. You got no breath to give you life when your diaphragm to move up and down, your lungs to pump, your blood to pump around your body at the right time. You got nothing. God says to him, speak a prophetic word. Verse 9, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become all dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. God says to Ezekiel again, speak, prophesy. Prophesy again that you need the ruach of God in your life, that you need the living breath in your God, that you need the pneuma of God in your life to breathe into you, to revive you, to give you new life, to give the nation, to deprive them from despair, to bring them up into a kind of people that God can recognize again. Don't forget, Israel was in absolute despair because they had been totally wrecked. Their whole nation had been wrecked, and they were ashamed of who they now were. And this prophet, this man of God, this man with a message, was to speak to these bones, was to speak to Israel and say to them, you need the breath of God in you. Maybe that's where our churches today. Maybe that's what our church is, not just in Palm Harbor, not just in Florida, but not just in the United States, but across the whole world. Maybe our church needs reviving again with a new breath in it, a new pneuma, a new ruach in it. So you've got to have the breath of God in you. You've got to have the breath of God in you, and you've got to speak this. And then he's seen a great army stand up, all of them standing there ready because they had a new breath inside of them. They had a new life inside of them. And he sees this great army standing before him. And this wasn't an army that was going to win wars. This wasn't an army that was going to cause strife and pain. This one wasn't going to be an army that win. This is the salvation army, amen? This is the army that was going to give the message of God to everybody. It was going to revive people, renew people, rekindle people's faith, and help them to see that they were God's chosen people. And he says to them, the army will stand if they have my breath in them. If they have my ruach, if they have my pneuma. And these old dry bones are going to renew the nation. And it's going to show people that this nation is not finished. That means that those of us who have called on Jesus as their Savior, that means that those who've decided to follow Jesus, who are adopted into this family of Israel, those of you who have done that are now refreshed and renewed. He goes on to say, therefore prophesy to them again and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is verse 12. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And when this happens, O my people, you will know that I am Lord. I will put my spirit within you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I've done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. So his first prophecy was to tell the bones to assemble. The second prophecy was to tell them to put the breath in them. The next prophecy was to say, they're going to go back to their graves. They're going to go back to their old ways. They're going to go back to a place that they don't want to be in. See, you can have really good bones. You can have really good sinews. You can have really good muscles. You can have really good skin that looks nice. You can have the Holy Spirit of God within you. You can have the Ruach. You can have the Pneuma. But still, there's a choice for us to follow Jesus. Amen? There's still a choice for us to go back into sin and back even with the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. He says, I'll still give you the chance. I'll still give you the chance to return to me. Even though you go back to your tombs, even though you go back to your fears and the things that you fear about, even though you go to the places that are dark and dingy and you know they're no good for you, I'll still bring you up and give you a second chance. In fact, I won't give you a second chance, I'll give you a third chance. I'll give you a fourth chance. And I will continue to breathe the Holy Spirit of God into you if you come seeking me. He says, I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to continue, Israel, to pour into you life, into you a breath. And you will come out of despair. You will not be worried about your disintegration as a nation anymore. You will not be discouraged anymore. Even with your hurts, even with your habits, even with your hang-ups, I can still refresh you anew. The question's still out there. Can these bones be brought back to life again? And the answer is a great, big, fat no. The bones can't be brought back to life unless there is the Holy Spirit of God in them, unless there is the breath of God through the Ruach of God, unless there is the Pneuma, the life of God living within us so that we might know God's purpose for our lives. Amen? It seems that our fears about ghosts, our fears about atmosphere and what people are going to say, it seems that our fears of angels and visions and things other people say, sometimes outweigh our fear of how powerful God is. Sometimes we think these things are more powerful than who God is. We think that the Ruach of God can't pour into our lives because we're so fearful about this one thing. We want to stop fearing about our families. We want to stop fearing about this controversy and that controversy. We want to lay up to God our fear about our nation. And sometimes that seems bigger than our fear of God. He has this vision of bones coming up. He has a vision of God speaking into people with dry bones. At night sometimes, I say a prayer. It's a rote prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. It says, Lord, at this time as I lay myself down, I confront to you my fears. May my greatest fear be nothing but the loss of you. Where do you feel the loss of God? Where do you feel that God is just not showing up? Where do you feel that you would just die for the Pneuma of God to be in this particular situation? You would love to see this Ruach that brought the vision, brought the bones back to life. You would just love to see that. Where is it in your life, in your family, that just, God, touch this. I'm tired. You'd love for them to be here in your, with you today if you're sitting here in the sanctuary. You say, oh, God, here, God, I am dry. Where are your bones dry? Where is it that you would like to see some sustenance in your life? Where is it that you would like that question answered? Will these dry bones live again? Will the church live again? Will this community live again, where there's a great throng of worshipers at the steps, and they're worshiping God, and they're so content in the presence of God? What vision is it that you have for your life? What does it look like? Can these dry bones live again? This week, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I want to give you an action. I want you to take out your phones if you haven't got them already. I want you to take out your phones if you want a fresh awakening, if you want to be relieved from your fears. I want you to take out your phone and jot down, type down, whether it's in a notepad that you have on your phone, whatever it is, you just take notes, you know, for your list, your shopping list. Or maybe there's a text group that you're in that you can share things like this with people. Maybe there's a friend, a neighbor, a sister that you have no problem sharing these things with. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down your fear. I fear that my sister is going to relapse. I fear that my father's illness is not going to end. I fear the loss of God. Just write three words down in your phone. And if you're texting it to someone, if you've got it in your phone and you've texted it to someone, tell them to delete it. If it's a note in your phone, delete it. Lay your fears at God's altar today. And pray and ask God, as we sing together, as we worship God together in a moment, ask God for a vision. Ask God for something new in your life, a new refreshing joy, a place where you could see the Ruach of God filling your bones again. Like, God, show me. Give me a vision. Give me something new. Do you want a fresh vision? Do you want something powerful in your life that it takes over everything else that you do? Do you want to see God fresh and anew? If you do, say amen. Holy God, gracious, always abounding, always present for us in our fears, we come before you today, Lord, and we ask that our dry bones will rattle. We ask, Lord, that you would restore our bodies, our physical and spiritual bodies, so that we might be people that hear you like your servant Ezekiel. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord, to fear you more than we fear our fears. We ask, Lord God, that you would speak mightily through your Spirit, that your Ruach, your breath, your Pneuma would fill our lives, so that when we leave from here, Lord, people will know that we have met with you. And we ask this, Lord, in your precious and powerful name, on all of God's people that are seeking a vision, say,